You know, many of us have saw the movie, so some of the younger ones may not have seen it, Back to the Future. And when, you know, if Doc Brown and Marty McFly came back and told us things that were going to be in the future, I think if when we were young, if somebody would tell us some of the things that would be going on today, how shocked, scared, maybe apprehensive, you know, looking just back in our childhood, if somebody would have told us, you'll be someday buying bottled water. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. As long as there's a front yard hose, that's the best water I ever had, is the front yard hose water. If somebody said, you'll pay $4 a gallon for gas, you're nuts. You know, that this picture had to have been taken probably, I don't know the year, probably around my late elementary school, because I remember going, when I was mowing yards in the neighborhood, going to the gas station with my little gas can with a quarter, and it almost filling the can up, and it being good for you know, many yard mowings. So, but there's places, I heard on the radio the other day, California's looking at over $8 coming up. So cinch up your belt on that one. You'll someday have tons of TV stations. A lot of us in here grew up when there was only three.
Amen.
And I was the remote control. My mom would, because I always sat closest to the TV, turn the channel to such and such, you know. You'll have cell phones. We had mobile phones when I was little. You could walk all the way the length of the kitchen because we had one of those long cords. You know, we had a mobile phone. But you know what? We laugh at those things. But Paul has given us some spiritual warnings. I apologize for the cough drop. I know that's against social graces and everything, but it's keeping me from coughing. Kent, it's working. So, Paul gave us some spiritual warnings that we shouldn't take lightly. You know, we laugh, you'll be buying bottled water, and we did. It came true, but some of the things Paul told fellow Christians about, we need to take heed to those also. Our scripture reading that Don read today, Paul was writing to his beloved Timothy from a prison cell awaiting his execution. And he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Paul was warning that there's going to be things happening in the future that you've got to be strong for, that you're going to have to encounter and deal with. In Acts 20, Paul will address fellow Christians. And he says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. To be divisive, to take people away from focusing on Jesus and to focus on themselves. right before that passage, Paul would say, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He said that right before telling them that savage wolves are going to come in. And right after he told them that, he would say in verse 31, therefore, he tells them how to deal with it. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. We've got some warnings here that Paul was saying, you've got to keep an eye out because savage wolves are going to come in ripping the flock apart. And as Don said, we've been very, very fortunate here at South Valley. The men have been strong. The men have kept an eye out against false doctrine. The men have kept an eye out against false teachings or anybody that would take the focus away from Jesus and doctrine rather than false teachings. And we pray that will never happen.
Amen.
In Revelation, Jesus, through the Apostle John, in the letter to the seven churches in Asia, to the Ephesians, he wrote, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. I look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the love, the strength, the focus of the spiritual armor that Paul told them to put on in this fight against the evil one, the idea of oneness, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And down the road, Jesus will tell them, you've left your first love. And giving them a spiritual warning. And as with all of those letters to the seven churches in Asia, the remedy was the same. Repent before it's too late. Paul would write to the Galatians, and Preston brought this up in our Sunday morning Bible class today. Early on, or, you know, right out of the gate, right after the greeting, you know, I, Paul, I'm writing to you. Paul gets in to what he's telling the church in Galatia. He says, I marvel. I'm amazed that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Then he kind of clarifies, he says, which is not another. There's only one gospel. You're going to a different teaching, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That's the whole issue. The issue with the Galatians were they were teaching that you still had to adhere to the practices of Judaism. That was specific for them. Paul could be writing this to any number of groups of Christians. The bottom line issue is they're straying from the original teaching and they're perverting, twisting the gospel to fit their own wants and needs. In 2 Timothy 4, we see a passage that is disturbing. In verse 10, it says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica." Just reading that as a passing verse really doesn't hit you. But when you look at who Demas was, Demas had traveled with Paul. Demas had served with Paul, had hit a lick for Christianity. In Colossians 4:12, Paul is saying, you know, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you." In Philemon 1:24, he mentions Demas, "my fellow laborer." And now in 2 Timothy, he's telling Timothy, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, he's left me and has departed for Thessalonica." It can happen to anybody. If it could happen to Demas, who had served with Paul, had the influence of Paul, and saw the things that Paul had done, it could happen to anybody. And then I asked myself the question, what am I to do? Because of all this warning, these warnings about the church, these warnings of things that were happening and did happen, these warnings about individuals that were strong and fell away. What are we to do? What am I to do? Paul gives us the teachings. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he told the Christians in Corinth, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That one verse says an awful lot to me. An awful lot. The words steadfast and immovable, those are not to be taken lightly. I mean, those are verses, those are words that you dig your heels in on. And you're not swayed. That you don't give ground on. And he goes on, always abounding, growing in the work of the Lord. Not just holding steady, not just holding your ground, but growing, improving in the work of the Lord. And that last phrase, knowing that your labor is not in vain. There are some people, and this is just an observation of mine, and I may be wrong. There are some people that I run across, and I don't care where it's at, whether it's work, sports, gymnastics, what, church. I just don't want to put the effort into it. As a coach of many years, there were just some people that didn't want to put the effort into it. It's too hard. And then there was those, they didn't mind. In fact, they kind of relished in giving themselves to a worthy cause. But they needed to know that it was going to be worth it. And the worth it isn't always the scoreboard. The worth it is you're making yourself a winner. You're building something in yourself. And Paul is reassuring people, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. that the things we do in the Lord are preparing us for our ultimate reward. And it's worth it. Paul would write in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be strong. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. We've had lessons recently about making sure that not only what we do, but the motives of what we do are proper. That doing right things, but without the proper motive. And Paul reinforces that idea, let all that you do be done with love. And make sure that our actions and our attitude match up. And wrapping things up, Paul would say to the Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 12, and this is a stark reminder, don't want to scare anybody, but just like Demas, if it could happen to Demas, it could happen to us. Paul says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. We want to make sure that we're never one of those Christians that we had been warned about. That there will be people that will fall away, that will follow a different gospel, a different teaching, that love this present world more than what we're doing. That we lose heart. We need to make sure that we don't become one of those that Paul warns us about. If you need to respond to the invitation, if there are those of you that have been studying, like Bobby, Ashley, and Dean have been, Brother Kurt's been studying every Thursday with them for a few months, and if there's those out there that have been studying and realize you need to put your Lord on in baptism. I know there's water in there, at least unless it drained out last Tuesday. But we can accommodate you. If you are a Christian and you've been struggling with staying on the path, been struggling with standing firm, struggling with being steadfast, there's no better time to resolve to repent and to get back on that track and get that resolve back in your life. If you need prayers of the congregation, your brothers and sisters are here to pray with and for you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Brandon leads us in the invitation song.
887.
Let's stand and sing.